Hello, everybody. This is Scott Yates, Director of Communications and Producer Relations for the Washington Grain Commission, here with episode 158 of Wheat All About It, or what I'm calling KXLY's Mark Peterson's Wetter and Warmer Than Normal Forecast. A veteran of more than three decades in broadcasting, the last 16 years on air at KXLY in Spokane, Peterson is currently serving as one of the hosts of Good Morning Northwest. He also provides on-the-air weather outlooks on KXLY Radio 920. As someone who only knows Peterson from seeing him on TV and hearing him on the radio, I was surprised to learn that he is part of a centennial farm in Scobey, Montana. Although his dad left the farm for a career as a civil engineer, a cousin continues to operate the spread and Peterson goes home every harvest to help. Which is to say, when he makes a forecast, he understands how impactful the weather is to farmers. Peterson's forecast for the rest of the winter, spring, and summer was both positive and unsettling. Positive because it appears the region will be blessed with better than normal precipitation along with warmth. Unsettling because there's no guarantee the additional moisture won't fall at the worst possible times. I thought Peterson hedged his bets about whether we are currently in an El Nino or neutral phase. I suppose that's because a lot of the agencies that create models of the El Nino phenomenon are hedging too. The majority, however, 65%, say the neutral phase is continuing for the time being. But Peterson talked as if we were already in an El Nino. In his defense, that might be because the company KXLY contracts with to provide weather data weighs European El Nino forecast model behavior heavier than others. Peterson had a handful of slides that went along with his presentation that you'll hear him talk about in the podcast ahead. I've posted them on the Washington Grain Commission Facebook page. Please like or follow the WGC while you're there. Peterson liked telling stories about his grandparents' farm as much as he liked talking about the weather, but I've concentrated on the weather part of his talk. And part of that included Peterson's belief that climate change is occurring, humans have caused at least part of it, and at this point, it's time to batten down the hatches as we figure out how to survive a warmer future. But before I get to the episode, a reminder, this is one of a series of podcasts I produce from events and presentations that occurred at the Tri-State Grain Growers Convention held November 13th to 16th, 2019 at the Grand Hotel in downtown Spokane. For those coming to the presentations for the first time, I hope the upcoming podcast will whet your appetite for attending the 2020 conference. While I deleted much of Peterson's musing about life on his family's farm, I did not take out everything. Early on, he asked if farmers in the audience name their combines. Not getting a response, he plowed on, letting everyone know that in Scobey, Montana, they did.
Take a look at this. This is Grandma. This is an 8820. This is my combine. I've had Grandma now for 15 years. And 2 years ago, I went to harvest, and we had had two brand new 1978 Titan IIs brought onto the farm we bought from the Hutterites, field ready. And my cousin put my combine on the back row where our spare parts place is, about 2 acres behind. And my Titan II blew its engine, blew a rear main seal, and it went crazy. So I said, okay, we're down to one combine. Where's Grandma? And he goes, oh, it's in the parts bin. What? You put Grandma in the parts bin? He goes, oh, she needed to be retired. So I went up with batteries, fired her up, and I ran her for 13 days this season, and she only had one hiccup. And so Grandma continues to live. We're a 103-year-old farm, and this year weather-wise sucked. It was horrible. We grow wheat, barley, durum, lentils, peas. My cousin can't make up his damn mind. And we had pretty good fields. We got, for the first time in 3 years, we had a pretty good yield going. We were sort of kicking it into high gear. There was diesel in the tank, and, you know, we were able to rock and roll. The issue came that we went to November 8th this year on our harvest for the last 300 acres of lentils that were desiccated a month and a half ago because of two snowstorms and two rainstorms. Finally had to wait until he could bring that in. Now, everything we have storage-wise is to capacity with grain, and there's no market. But I'm here to talk about the weather. Over the last couple of years, we've had, again, a lot of conversation, and it on a political end when it comes to global warming. The issue is that we are warming up. I don't care who you want to blame. I don't care how you want to look at it, whether you want to blame China, whether you want to blame us, the Industrial Revolution, whether it's the 10,000-year meteorological cycle. We're warming up, and this shows it. This is the forecast, which is as accurate as anything, as you'll see in this next little presentation I give. The temperature is red, and it says that March and April are going to be cooler than normal. Blue is precipitation. It's the rain or snow. December is going to be warmer than average, wetter than average. That's what everyone has been talking about. Okay? We're going to have a bit of a weak El Nino into the Northwest, which Oregon, Washington, Idaho share quite a bit of that. Southern Idaho is sort of its own thing when it comes to, especially like Pocatello. You know, Boise is 80 degrees sunny and people are playing golf. Pocatello, it's 20 below zero and there's 8 feet of snow, you know. So we look at this and you can see where the trend is going, is that we're going to have a warmer than average year. It's saying that we're going to have a fairly dry April, May, June. April is going to be normal. If it doesn't show anything, it's just normal. And I think all of you would agree that that would be really sort of nice to have something in which we have some dry summers, get a couple of rains, kick the field, let it come back up again, let it mature a little bit, let it get some sun. And it says here that that is possible until you get to August, which looks to be wetter than normal, which is when we harvest. Now, let's go to the Weather Channel. So I went around. You know, when you're here and you're going to be talking for an hour, which I won't, because there's food and coffee and good company, but I'll answer questions, so I'll be here for 90 minutes. I went around to all the different sources to see if anyone else had dialed in on what this next year was going to be like. Everybody is as confused as you will be when you wake up in April. In El Nino, a light year. All right, so it's not a heavy El Nino. This is going to be an effect of these warming waters off the Pacific. We're going to be above average for the Northwest. Oregon, yeah, a little bit, but certainly not below average when it comes to temperatures, and that's for April. Then we get to May, and it's above average through the northern tiers all the way across. So we have these different companies that are utilizing and looking at about 20 different models that are presented to them on a daily basis through NOAA, through the European models, and everyone's looking at the same data, and everybody is coming up with a different story. But everybody agrees it'll be warmer than average, and it should be wetter than average. That really, at this point, is the end of the talk. I mean, when you look at all of the different models, it's saying, yeah, you guys are screwed. So I called the National Weather Service, and we're good friends, been dealing with them here in town for 26 years, and said, guys, I need to know what this winter is going to be like. And when they stopped laughing, they said, we're going to have a meeting in a week, and we're going to be dealing with that same subject that we've been talking about for a month. So they sent me their information. Now, these guys are doctorates, meteorologists, they've been to school, they've lived it, they worked in Seattle. They think that's important. We've got the Pacific jet stream pushing up, okay? And that's a normal pattern. The issue is the temperature of the water as it comes through that subtropical jet stream. that warmer air pushes up into us, and then it creates a wall that keeps us warmer than average. All right, can you scroll down to that next slide, please? This is this year. High pressure moves in, we dry out. February and March, a low comes in, and we're inundated with rain, the late snow in late February. Did you guys have that? April and May, high pressure moves back in, we're still wet. High pressure continues to be here June and July, and we dry out. August, September, it's been anybody's guess as to what's going to happen. We've had the storms roll through, and then we get a nice big long break. And then, especially on the other side of the Rockies, where our farm is, it's been rain, sun, snow, sun, rain. And then we get into October, and that huge low comes out of Canada. Canada has not been kind to us this year. That's where we're getting a couple of different things that are happening. We've got the Arctic air, the polar region, as that comes down, or the Arctic Oscillation. If we don't understand it, we give it a really cool name and then we figure it out. The Arctic Oscillation is like a propeller that's missing part of it. It's normally rotating with just little tiny blurbs in it, and now it's segmented, and it literally looks like a propeller, and that cold air comes in, settles down, and bam. So that's what we're dealing with right now, and that's what New England is dealing with right now, the Great Lakes, is that Arctic Oscillation, that extremely cold air that is also coming out of Russia. Just really any place north, but we have to blame somebody. So we'll blame those guys. If there's Canadians here, I apologize. This is what I loved. I'm at this presentation with the National Weather Service. They put this up there and go, okay, when will the pattern change? Right now, they feel the pattern will change in a year. That we're going to continue to have swings in our weather because of what we have. But the swings are going to be to above average when we look at our temperature and our precipitation, which is all that we really tend to look at in the weather. Do you see all the lines there, all the crayons in the middle? Those are the different subgroups and computer programs and computer models that represent the forecast. So you have the one, which is the Syntex F, has us in a La Nina. It's the only one. There's always the one. They'll be at Thanksgiving. And then you have the other one way up there, which I'm not sure which one that is. But it's saying that we're going to have almost a strong El Nino. Most of them are going neutral to just up above that. It's the just up above that when we get into that El Nino that we see most of those lines. So now we're just averaging out. And that's how we're trying to come up with this forecast for you to plan on what you're going to be doing that will put food on your table, money in the bank, and help pay for the kids' clothes. So in a neutral year, snow totals, and so I have a couple of towns that we're able to get those numbers from and show you, is that a neutral year does not mean that it's going to be mellow by any means. And this is what this shows. These are neutral years. You can see the average or the normal. You can see that 92, 93, 96, 97, 2001, 2002, and as late as 2004, we get a ton of snow. We get a ton of snow moving in. So we're saying warmer than average and wetter than average does not mean that we're not going to see snow. It's all on timing. We had 5 feet of snow that arrived over a Christmas break here in Spokane. At the time that snowfall hit, I was sitting in Maui. In Republic, 2012, 2013, well above average when it came to snowfall. 96, 97, well above average. But look at the changes from Spokane to Republic. I mean, it's not that far, but the numbers are changed. Let's go down to the next slide, please. So let's go south of here. Moscow Pullman. Snowfall 2001, 2002, 2003, 2004, and then before that into 97, all of that. Everything else has been below average. they haven't had that much snow. If you notice by this, the last 5 years or so, we've not had as much snow as we normally get. The winters are becoming more mild. The Palouse flooding, again, a neutral year, 2013-2014, where everything seems fine, but you get an early melt-off, and that's what you get because you get that warming, and then we have flooding. So because we're entering a neutral and so neutral, so it's going to be a little above average temperature-wise, a little above average when it comes to precipitation, still means we can have significant weather issues. So we're not out of the woods there either. These are the models as we go to December, January, February, like next month. All right. So we're looking at the entire western U.S. warmer than average. And we're looking at wetter than average for the Pacific Northwest. California continues to be the hotbed of fires because they're still going to remain dry. There, the jet stream is going to the north of them. It's coming into our neck of the woods, and it's pulling with it the rain and the snow. Higher elevations will still get the snow. Ski areas will still get the snow. We'll still get some snow, but on average, it will be a more mild winter in the lower elevations as we look at this, which, again, that's a 90-day forecast instead of next year. A little more accuracy there. But they put this on all of them. These seasonal climate models do not have a high skill score. In other words, don't bank on this, but this is what we think is going to happen. Over the last 10 years, the Earth, the world, temperatures have gone up 1.5 degrees, 2 degrees in some places. Okay, so what does this mean? I was in Alaska 3 years ago, and you take the ship, the little guy, and you go up into the, I'll call them fjords, but you know, you go to where they have glaciers, thank you. It's been a long week. And on the ship, there's a monitor that says, 40 years ago, the glacier came down here through three different tubes. And here we are now, and we're like 600 feet into what used to be a glacier. And we're heading up, and we're getting 500-year-old ice that we mix with whiskey. And by the way, it's amazing. And the ice was good, too. And it's that blue ice that's been under pressure for 500 years. And so you can see what has happened to those glaciers and really worldwide. We're seeing the oceans come up. The biggest impact we're going to see, sir, is our coastal regions with warming, I think. In as much as we have, you look at any country. You look at Australia, within 100 miles of the coastline, there's like 80% of the population. You start bringing these waters up, and we build right to the water. You want to buy waterfront, trust me. Some of these people are going to have waterfront back in the kitchen. That also then affects the tides. How many watch the news that Venice is underwater? I mean, Venice is underwater, but now it's really all the way underwater. I mean, it's the tide came up 5 feet higher than it's ever happened before. And we're seeing these things happen more and more. So it's water that's going to be the big issue when it comes to the warming. In forecasting this area, and I am an open book, I apologize in advance. In this area, I like the European model, believe it or not, because it really does hit us better. There are other models out there that deal better with the southeastern U.S., maybe New Brunswick, maybe it's France, and I mean, they're weather forecasting around the world, it's just a different language. Those models tends to be a regional model that really works well for that, and then you see all those models put together. But I really like the European model because I think it's been the best for us, and that's what Barron Weather Systems uses. It weights it for our area. And we've had to have that discussion on how they weight our area for weather. For those of you who've been on your place for a long time, you know what a sort of a mild winter is around your place. For some, it's only 6 feet of snow. For others, it's the fact that, you know, you've got wet roadways and you deal with slush and maybe some snow, you know, a week or two out of the year. That's about what you're looking at again. No major changes this year. Other than a little more mild than what it is on average. And Mother Nature can still come in and kick your butt. I think if you're inland, you're going to have to deal with the fact that there's going to be bigger drought years. I think that where we farm, irrigation, hell, they can't even spell it. There's none up there. There's no groundwater. We have a river that goes right by our place, but there are years where it dries out. And it goes over the big cement block that we drive across. We call it the fjord. And there are times when you drive across, the water is 6, 8, 10 inches above that. And if you have a visitor who's never seen that and you're driving through this thing, it's a lot of fun. He was from New York. He freaked out. And other years that it's that cement stays dry all the time. So it will fluctuate. But I think we are going to continue to warm. Can we reverse it? I don't think so. I think we're in a natural cycle. I think this started in the industrial age. We're throwing enough stuff up in the air. And I don't think it's because cows are farting. I don't think that's the answer. So the grandkids are going to pay the price. But it's really the great-great-great-great-great-great-grandkids. That's you and I. And it just continues to go. We're not creating this. It has been created. We continue to deal with it. Are there things we can do to help it? Yes. Is there a way to cure it? I don't think so. But we need to learn how to deal with it.
I've had a sense recently that among many people, there's been a shift from the notion of preventing climate change to dealing with climate change. It pleases me that I've been reading articles about public and private research in agriculture doing just that for the last 20 years. But it's one thing to think about how agriculture will adapt to a warmer planet. It is altogether another to ponder the dislocation of people that will result in coastal cities. Don't forget to visit the Washington Grain Commission Facebook page to see the slides Peterson mentioned. Of course, while you're there, like or follow the WGC. I hope you've enjoyed episode 158, or what I called KXLY's Mark Peterson's Wetter and Warmer Than Normal Forecast. Please join me again next time for another episode of Weed All About It.
We love the land, the farm's our career, but make no mistake, we do not steer. Mother Nature's in the driver's seat. I'm talking life and I'm talking wheat. We're riding shotgun, we have our say, but Mrs. N, she knows the way. We feed you